Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Andy. So, as I begin, a prayer. Loving Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may my spoken words be faithful to your inspired word and lead us to the true and living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder what would make you shout desperately at the top of your voice? Or what would make you fall to the ground flat on your face in front of someone? Imagine you've been on an ocean cruise, but your ship has sunk. You've managed to scramble to a lifeboat, and you're now adrift on the open ocean. You and some others are just floating in the middle of a vast ocean. At times, you're cold and wet. At other times, your skin is baked and burnt by the sun and the salt. You're hungry and thirsty. And it's unlikely that you'll ever get home. Unlikely you'll ever see your loved ones again. Your life consists of simply surviving, waiting to die. Imagine then what it would be like to see a ship in the distance. Suddenly, all of that hopelessness is gone, and you have this one chance to live again. What would you do? I expect you'd shout as loud as you could and wave with all of the energy that you have left to attract the attention of the ship's crew. You would, in effect, be crying out to the ship's captain to have pity on you. And if rescued, I think there's a good chance that you might fall at the feet of your rescuers in sheer emotional exhaustion and overwhelming thanksgiving. Life as a leper in Jesus' day was utterly miserable. If we read Leviticus chapter 13, laws concerning leprosy, then we find that any kind of skin blemish, such as eczema or psoriasis or boils or even an infected burn, could be deemed as leprosy. Leviticus 13 gives detailed protocols for checking for suspected leprosy before someone was declared a leper. But once someone was declared unclean, their clothes were torn, their head was shaved, they had to cover the lower half of their face and cry, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning to everyone they met. As long as they had the sores or the blemished skin, they were unclean and had to remain outside of the community. So they were exiled from their family and friends and from their community, excluded from family life, social life, religious life, not able to work or trade, reliant on the charity of their family and friends, perhaps, who might leave food for them outside of the village. They were outcasts. Excluded from acceptable society, these poor unfortunates would form their own unacceptable society. They came together out of their need for companionship and protection, out of that basic human need for relationship, a need to feel that they belong to at least something, at least someone knows how they feel, understands them. This would even break down that great barrier that divided Jews and Samaritans. And so, having heard of this man Jesus, the reaction of these 10 lepers is entirely natural. If there's even the slightest chance that this Jesus can do what they have heard people say he can do, that he can heal people of virtually anything, then seeing him coming would be like shipwrecked sailors seeing a ship in the distance. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. But Jesus doesn't go to them. He doesn't seem to do anything. He simply tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, whether they felt something physical in their bodies or whether they felt something deep in their hearts, these 10 men all go, which is quite remarkable, isn't it? Not remarkable that Jesus told them to go to the priests while they were still lepers, because Jesus knew what he was doing, and we know that he can do anything. The remarkable thing is that all of the men did as he said without question. They all literally stepped out in faith. All of them have the faith in Jesus, whom they have acknowledged as Master, to go at his word. And this particular word, Master, is used only 6 other times in the Gospels. And on those occasions, it's used by Jesus' closest disciples to address him. And so this perhaps indicates the level of faith that these lepers have. And it is as they act on the command of their Master, as they went, that they were cleansed. And there seems to be a principle here, doesn't there, for us to take note of. In many Bible accounts, we learn that things happen when people are obedient to God and act in that obedience. Faith often requires more than simply believing. It requires action. People have to believe that Jesus can do something. They have to have the courage to ask him to do something. And then they have to believe that he has done that something in order for it to be done. As the 10 men went to the priests, they were cleansed. Now, having gone to the priests, the lepers would have had to go through a complicated ritual of cleansing before being accepted back into their community. The priest would have come out of the village, out of the community, to examine them. And if he found their skin unblemished, then they would be sprinkled with the blood of sacrificed birds. They would have to burn their clothes, shave their bodies, and bathe. And then they would have to wait a week and then burn their clothes again and shave off all of the hair of their bodies again, including eyebrows and eyelashes. A lamb would be sacrificed, and the priest would take some of the blood of the lamb and put the blood on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe of the right foot, symbolizing that all of the person has been cleansed. And then after other offerings and ceremonies, the leper, the unclean person, was eventually clean and able to fully rejoin the community, reunited with his or her family. Now, having seen that he was healed, this Samaritan, maybe as he's walking, looking at his restored hands in wonder, feeling the skin of his face or his body, no longer rough and scaly, no longer sore, but now smooth and new, his response is to praise God loudly, to rush back to Jesus, to fall at his feet and thank him. I think if I had been that man, if that had been me, I would never have let go of Jesus' feet. If I had been that healed man, his disciples would probably have had to drag me away from Jesus' feet. And yet, of course, that is me. That is you. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And we are healed. Our exile from the family of God is over. Our exile from the kingdom of God is over. Our exile from the presence of God is over. We are restored and reinstated with our Heavenly Father, into our heavenly family, as adopted daughters and sons of God, able to come to our Heavenly Father with unblemished skin, pure and cleansed, all through Jesus, the Master who has pity on us, who by his blood heals our wounds. Faith is the only condition for our healing, not gratitude. The 9 other lepers were all healed. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, as Paul tells us in Ephesians. But our response to our healing should be gratitude. To come back to Jesus in joy, in great joy, in exuberant joy, to fall at his feet in thankfulness and to praise God in thanksgiving for all that Jesus has done for us. The Lamb who was slain, who takes away the sins of the world, and by whose blood we may enter the Holy of Holies, the very heart of God. And as we come to receive Holy Communion in a while, as we receive through faith the body of Christ that was given for us, the blood of Christ that was shed for us, let us in our hearts fall at the feet of Jesus in thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. And in thanksgiving, let's give ourselves for him who gave himself for us. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.